The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yes, excuse me. Still following the news in Ukraine very, very closely indeed. It's astonishing to read that there is a convoy of something like 64 kilometers long, involving Russian tanks and Russian military, which is apparently gathered outside Ukraine's capital, Kiev, which would, I suppose, put shivers up anybody's spine. 64 kilometers long, apparently, is the convoy that's waiting outside Kiev at the moment. So I'm guessing that the coming days in Ukraine are going to be very, very critical indeed for the survival of Kiev and for the survival of Ukrainians in general. Interesting that there are reports of talks having been held yesterday on the Belarus border between Ukrainian and Russian officials. No Israeli involvement directly in those talks, as far as I can ascertain. And there were no reports in Israeli press of Israel getting involved. That story seems to have gone a little low. Not much reported about that, but I did love how determined Ukrainian President Zelensky is, because at the end of that particular meeting, which didn't seem really to yield many results, he signed an application to join the European Union. You have to just love how determined he is.
He's just incredible. And we were talking about heroes earlier, that he stood up. He was asked to stand up, and many people are given the opportunity in their lifetimes and don't stand up to become a hero. Heroes aren't born. They choose to rise to the task. And he certainly has done that. He's just become iconic all around the world.
It's amazing, because I recall when he was first elected, which was not such a long time ago. I think he's been in office for perhaps 2 years, if that. And I recall when he was elected that he was billed as a comedian of Jewish descent. What is he doing as president of Ukraine? That was kind of the way that he was billed when he was first elected, because I think the Ukrainian election didn't offer too many alternatives for the Ukrainian people to choose from. And I think he was simply the best of a bad lot at that stage, literally. And people, I don't think, really put a lot of faith in him. I just think that he was a little better than the alternatives, some of whom had been involved with corruption and who were not really that attractive as presidential candidates for the Ukrainian people. And so he was elected. But I think a lot of Ukrainians stood up at the time and wondered what their country was coming to, having elected some sort of a comedian to be their president. And you're right, he's really stood up. And I think that this war has allowed him to change his standing in front of those people who were very skeptical about him becoming president. And of course, he's quite open and honest and proud of his Jewish links. And there was a quote from the Ukrainian ambassador to Israel who said that because he is Jewish, and we use that term quite loosely, because as I said yesterday, I don't think he qualifies under strict halakha as being Jewish, but he certainly comes from Jewish lineage. Because he's Jewish, according to the ambassador to Israel from Ukraine, he expects Israel to help as much as possible. So that was just, I think, appealing to the kind of Jewish links between, of course, Israel and the president of Ukraine. Israel, of course, playing this one very carefully, as we've discussed over the last few days about Israel's involvement. But it seems as if though there can be little doubt that Israel is very much supportive of the work that he's doing, of how he's reacting. And of course, albeit quite silent about the Russian actions, I don't think that there are many people, not on the streets of Israel and not within government circles in Israel, who honestly would say that they would support the work that's being done at the moment by Russian President Putin, and of course the violence that's been caused, the terrible destruction in Ukraine at the moment.
Absolutely right. That said, an Israeli was now killed in Ukraine. What was that story?
Well, this is a man who made Aliyah from Ukraine at approximately the age of 13 And he then lived here for some time, made Aliyah with his family, lived here for some time before deciding to return to Ukraine, where he's been living for some time with his wife and children. And we understand that he was part of a convoy that was headed towards the Moldovan border when they were accosted by Ukrainian forces. And this is the supreme irony, that these Ukrainian forces mistook him for a Russian combatant. And we understand that in the process of this mistaken identity, he was shot and killed right there in that car convoy. His wife was quite badly injured at the same time. He's a 42-year-old by the name of Roman Brodsky, a father of two children who'd been living in Ukraine for the last few years. There seems to be something of a disagreement at the moment between his wife, who obviously is in Ukraine and was with him in this incident, and his parents, who live in Israel and who would desperately like his body to be brought back to Israel for burial. And currently, the Israeli consular services are not even within the Ukraine. They're within Ukraine. They're operating from Poland rather than from within Ukraine. So the whole process of trying to bring the body back to Israel for burial is not a simple task by any stretch of the imagination, and there seems to be some disagreement within the family as to what the most logical thing is to do now that he has passed away. But we obviously are very, very grieved to hear about this, particularly when he was trying to escape, and as far as we can understand, not really involved at all in the conflict, but rather just simply trying to find safe passage to Moldova in order to get away from the conflict zone. Another story has materialized of an Israeli sailor who was on a Ukrainian-flagged vessel in the Black Sea that seems to have been seized by Russian forces. Again, it seems as if though this individual, an Israeli who also comes from Ukrainian descent, was one of the sailors on the ship. We understand that they have been taken, they've been taken away by Russian officials who seized that Ukrainian cargo ship. We're not exactly sure currently of the whereabouts of Yuri Shvedky, who is a 51-year-old Israeli. And Israeli diplomats are apparently trying to make huge efforts in order to try to track his whereabouts in order to bring him back to Israel, back to safety. So at the moment, that is also a story about an Israeli who has been caught up in the turmoil of the conflict in Ukraine.
Very, very, very worrying and very sad, these situations. Israel is set to back a UN resolution that condemns Russia. This was originally quite controversial as to whether Israel would or wouldn't do this.
So, you know, this shows at its best what Israel's conflicted situation dilemma is right now, because on the one hand, last week there was a resolution that was presented to the UN Security Council, and even though Israel is not a member of the United Nations Security Council, there was an opportunity for non-Security Council members to sponsor the resolution that was put to the Security Council in order to condemn Russia's actions in Ukraine. And the United States apparently appealed to Israel to be one of the sponsors of this resolution. In the event the Israeli government decided that they would not wish to sponsor the resolution and came under some criticism from the U.S. Administration for their refusal to speak out and to be a sponsor of this Security Council resolution that was condemning Russia. In the event when that resolution was presented to the Security Council, it takes no surprise to understand that Russia has a right of veto at the Security Council, and of course vetoed this particular resolution, which was ultimately not passed. But Israel seems to have done some minor damage to its relationship with the US administration in the process of that resolution. Having said that, there is now a resolution that is due to be presented to the UN General Assembly. And at the UN General Assembly all countries have the right to vote, all members of the United Nations, and there are no rights of veto at the UN General Assembly. So here, it's not just a question of sponsorship from behind the scenes. This is standing up to be counted alongside the nations of the world who will all be called upon to vote on this resolution. We understand that this resolution is to be presented to the United Nations during the course of today, as far as I understand it. And the Israeli Foreign Minister Yair Lapid has come out saying that Israel will vote in favor of the United Nations General Assembly resolution condemning the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And Yair Lapid went on to say that in this particular instance, Israel really needs to be what he calls on the right side of history. Mm-hmm. Israel needs to show that it has condemned Russia and it has stood alongside the nations of the world in condemning this type of behavior, in spite of the complications that this is likely to raise in Israel's relationship with Russia. But on this occasion, it seems unavoidable that Israel will speak its mind rather than take the very, very careful tread path that's been trodden up until now, trying to balance between condemning Russia and helping Ukraine at the same time. It's been a very difficult dilemma for the Israeli administration because, you know, what's in the general best interests of Israel is not necessarily what people want to say out loud. And we all know that from an Israeli national interest point of view, particularly when looking at the longer term, condemning Russia right now and speaking out too vociferously against the Russian invasion of Ukraine would potentially be very, very damaging for Israel's national security interests. And so hence, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has laid down a three-line whip, forcing members of the government not to make any statement whatsoever concerning the conflict in Ukraine, except, of course, for the statement that Foreign Minister Yair Lapid has made about the fact that Israel will support the United Nations General Assembly resolution. We'll be watching out for that. I don't think it'll come as any surprise when we see it happen, but we can never really be sure that it is going to happen until the vote is actually held and we see the lights light up and you know, reports about which nations have voted for which side of the resolution. But it seems quite clear at this stage of the game that Israel is very much supportive of the resolution and will put all diplomatic efforts and political considerations aside and will simply vote in favor of the resolution.
Do we know when this is happening?
I understand that this is due to take place at the General Assembly today, but I haven't seen a time that's been advertised yet for the vote that's due to take place. And it could, of course, be subject to change. And what I might just do, Howard, after I've finished my chat with you, is have a quick look around again to see if I've got any more information and just drop your note and you can share it with listeners as
you would
be interested to follow it.
Absolutely. That would that'll really be great. And Jenny asking, Israel has many Russian citizens. Do we know what the sentiment is amongst that community? It's a great question.
The sentiment is very strongly in support of Ukraine right now. And it's quite interesting to see Israel's Russian community, because while many of them are very much Russian in their extract, that they've lived in Russia and have very few links with Ukraine. And the truth of the matter is that many members of Israel's Jewish community who have emigrated from the former Soviet Union over the years have some link or another with Ukraine, even those who really identify as Russians and have lived most or all of their lives in Russia. Many of them also have family members in Ukraine right now. So I don't think that there's much conflict amongst Israel's Russian community. They are very much in favor, in support of Ukraine, and very much critical of the way in which President Putin is behaving. I don't think that's a unique situation, by the way, because what I've gathered from Russian communities around the world, not only in Israel, but other Russian communities in the United States and in Europe and places where there are fairly substantial numbers of Russians, Canada, for example, I understand that the Russian communities there are almost to a man standing up against Putin in this particular instance and very supportive of Ukraine and its endeavors, feel that Russia has really overstepped the mark. And that is also true of many Russians in Russia who feel that Putin has overstepped the mark. So I don't think that this is very unusual, but what we've sensed from the Israeli-Russian community is very much a support of Ukraine and very much critical of Putin. Who knows who could be next on the list is the adage that's currently going around. If it's Ukraine now, it could be anybody else next. And of course, the countries in the region, Poland and Hungary and Moldova and some of those neighboring countries are all quite nervous about what might happen next in the event that Ukraine is captured by Russia.
Anthony Reich, thank you. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. That was the Israel Report here on the Morning Mayhem, 101.9 Chai FM.